Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy New Ritao. We're preparing some talks for our Memorial Day weekend at the end of May visit to Hindu Temple of Atlanta. We went there last year, as you may recall, and they're unique in Hindu temples in North America in that they've built two large-sized temples fairly close to one another. The original one is for Venkateshvara, and the new one is for Shiva, under the name Ramalingeshvara. So they have two temples, Balaji and a Shiva temple, right next to each other, and separate, which is a nice statement in itself. So anyway, I'll read part of the talk. This part is it's in the middle. Didn't want to read the whole thing because it's you've heard part of it before. Even part of this you've heard before, but it's part of a larger talk on Hindu solidarity. So it draws on our Hindu solidarity editorial, the idea of which is that a unity in diversity, that Hindus standing together want to maintain their diverse traditions, despite the fact that there are those who say we shouldn't. You know, we should all adopt the Bhagavad Gita as our main scripture, and we should all worship the same deities and so forth. That's the only way Hinduism will be powerful and understood. A unity in oneness. So Gurudev, of course, said, no, that would take all the power out of Hinduism. Hinduism's power lies in its diverse traditions. So we need to have a Hinduism with diversity. So it's part of that talk. Speaking again of our visit to this temple last May, we were greatly impressed by the fact that on many evenings the Vaishnava priests would help in the Shiva ceremonies and vice versa. The smooth, harmonious working together of the Vaishnava and Saiva priests and the Shiva and Venkateshwara devotees was uplifting and encouraging, showing how well these two traditions are able to cooperate and blend their energies without giving up their distinct beliefs and customs. There are many scriptures in Hinduism, and unfortunately one category of secondary scripture, the Puranas, can be used as the basis for clashes and disagreement between worshippers of Vishnu and worshippers of Shiva. This is because the Puranas give us some stories where Vishnu is superior to Shiva and other stories where Shiva is superior to Vishnu. There is a verse in the Saivite scripture, Tirumandaram, that addresses this problem. Though the three, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, form an integral whole, the world considers them separate and quarrels. On a visit a few months ago to London, this is written to be read at the end of May, so it's actually just last week. On a visit a few months ago to London, we were invited to speak at the Neasden Temple of the BAPS Swaminarayan Fellowship. They, of course, are staunch Vaishnavas, and thus it is unusual for them to invite a Saivite Swami to speak at their weekly satsang. However, they know us well and trust that we will convey an appropriate message. One of the major points included in my talk was that we share a mutual respect and tolerance for each other's traditions and mentioned that unfortunately such respect and tolerance does not always exist between Vaishnavites and Saivites, between worshippers of Vishnu and worshippers of Shiva. I then went on to elaborate by saying that in their scripture, the Shikshapatri, their founder Bhagwan Swaminarayan states, the Vedas proclaim Narayan and Shiva as one and as Brahma Swarup, God's true nature, and therefore they should be known accordingly. Bhagwan Swami Narayan also enjoins his devotees, in the month of Shravan, they shall worship or engage the services of pious Brahmin devotees to worship Shiva with Bilva Patras and the like. And finally, he indicates his devotees shall fast on Shivratri and celebrate this festival with great reverence. And of course, on the physical and visible side, there is also a side shrine to Shiva in their mandir. I then mentioned that in our founder's writings, Gurudeva makes the statement on religious tolerance that Saivites profoundly know that God Shiva is the same supreme being in whom peoples of all faiths find solace, peace, and liberation. Gurudeva also says, Shiva's devotees, with hearts as big as the sky, love and accept Smarta, Sakta, and Vaishnava Hindus as brothers and sisters, even if not accepted by them, and keep harmony by not discussing differences. Also in our temple, we have a side shrine with the image of Shankara Narayana. He's up here. Can't see him. Half Shiva, half Vishnu, which of course symbolizes the unity of Shiva and Vishnu. A prominent Smarta Hindu leader, Swami Shivananda, founder of the Divine Life Society, also speaks of the oneness of Shiva and Vishnu in his book, Lord Shiva and His Worship. He begins by explaining that there is a temple in Tirunelveli, district of Tamil Nadu, called the Shankara Narayana Koyal, where the idol has one half of it depicted as Shiva and the other half as Vishnu. To quote Swamiji, the inner significance of this is that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are one. Sri Shankara also has said in very clear terms that Shiva and Vishnu are the one all-pervading soul. On one occasion, a Virasaivite entered the temple in Shankara Narayan Koyal to worship the Lord. This is a classic story. He offered incense. He plugged the nostrils of Vishnu with the cotton as the fumes were entering his nose also. After that, a Virasaivite entered the temple, and he also offered incense. He plugged the nostrils of Shiva as the fumes were entering his nose also. Such is the bigotry and narrow-mindedness of sectarians. A devotee should have a large, broad heart. He must see his chosen deity in all aspects of the Lord and in all forms. Swami Shivananda then states, Shiva and Vishnu are one and the same. They are essentially one and the same. In another portion of the book, Swami Shivananda has an interesting explanation of why the various Puranas extol one deity over another. To quote him, Vishnu Purana glorifies Vishnu and in some places gives a lower position to Shiva. Shiva Purana glorifies Shiva and gives a lower status to Vishnu. This is only to instill and intensify devotion for the respective deity in the hearts of the devotees. In reality, no deity is superior to another. You must understand the heart of the writer. Swami Shivananda concludes by saying, may you all realize the oneness of Shiva and Vishnu. May you all be endowed with pure, subtle intellect and proper understanding. By these statements of Bhagwan Swami Narayan, Sivaya Subramanya Swami, and Swami Shivananda, we can see clearly that enlightened Hindu leaders of Vaishnavite, Saivite, and Smarta traditions all stress the essential unity of Shiva and Vishnu. The October 2003 issue of our magazine, Hinduism Today, has an important 8-page article on the four denominations of Hinduism from which I would like to quote. Hinduism is a family of religions with four principal denominations. Saivism, Saktism, Vaishnavism, and Smartism. This single perception is essential for understanding Hinduism and explaining it accurately to others. Contrary to prevailing misconceptions, Hindus all worship a one supreme being, though by different names. For Vaishnavites, Lord Vishnu is God. For Saivites, God is Shiva. For Shaktas, God is Shakti, is supreme. And for Smartas, the choice of deity is left to the devotee. The article goes on to compare the four denominations in terms of their history, beliefs, practices, and scriptures, and is quite informative. We also reprinted the article as a separate pamphlet for use in classrooms as a teaching tool in presenting the topic of Hinduism's four main denominations. The Hindu Temple of Atlanta is making an important contribution to the clarity of Hinduism in the U.S. by having separate temples for Balaji and Shiva. In the traditional Hindu temple, the main sanctum is for the Supreme Being. Balaji is the Supreme Being to Vaishnavites, and Shiva is the Supreme Being to Shaivites. This may seem self-evident, but this central point is sometimes missed when both deities are placed in the same temple. With two supreme beings in the same temple, philosophical clarity is easily lost, resulting in the youth finding Hinduism to be confusing. For example, we know of Shiva Vishnu temples which on their website describe Shiva as the destroyer and Vishnu as the preserver. Of course, this is not how knowledgeable Saivites and Vaishnavites look at it. To Saivites, Shiva is a supreme being and therefore performs all three actions of creation, preservation, and destruction. To Vaishnavites, Vishnu is the supreme being and therefore performs all three actions of creation, preservation, and destruction. That we worship the supreme being is clearly the view of Hinduism's primary scriptures, Shruti, the Vedas, and Agamas. So that's that point. Shiva and Vishnu are one. Three points of view, huh? Convincing. Vaishnavite, Saivite, and Smarta. So, as we know, in our calendar created by Gurudeva, this begins a new ritual as well as being the new year. In our calendar, we have three ritals. Some calendars have six, but we just have three. And so this is an introduction to the ritual system and then the material on the Nartana ritual. Sacred calendar. Governing the ebb and flow of daily life is our sacred calendar, which provides mystic knowledge and the science of auspicious timing to help all my shishya flow with the river of life. In this chapter, we also learn that from year to year at Kauai Adinam, three major climatic seasons are experienced. With these seasons, our activities change in nature, both inwardly and outwardly. Beginning with Hindu New Year in mid-April, three seasons of the year divide our activities into three great needs of mankind. The learning of scripture in the first season, Nartana Ritual, which is this one. The living of culture in the second season, Jivana Ritual. And the meditating on Shiva in the third season, Moksha Ritual. Thus we are constantly reminded that our life is Shiva's life and our path to him is through study, sadhana, and realization. In Ritual 1, we teach the philosophy. In Ritual 2, we teach the culture. And in Ritual 3, we teach meditation. At Kauai's Hindu monastery and everywhere members reside, the Hindu flag, Hindutva Dwaja, majestically proclaiming the Sanatana Dharma. Well, that's an interesting sentence. That's how it reads. At Kauai's Hindu monastery and everywhere members reside, the Hindu flag, Hindutva Dwaja, majestically proclaiming the Sanatana Dharma. It changes with our three seasons. Many smaller flags of various colors are also flown, welcoming pilgrims into special realms of the 4-month period. Dharamsala temples, mission house altars, and home shrines also reflect the seasonal colors in their decorations. Nartana Ritau, the season of dancing with Shiva, begins on Hindu New Year. This is the period of creation, the warm season from mid-April through mid-August. The teaching is Dancing with Shiva, Hinduism's contemporary catechism, Shivena Saha Nartanam. This foundational text is featured in all mission satsangas. The key word of this season is planning. The colors are orange, yellow, gold, and all shades of green. Orange for renunciation, yellow, gold for action, and green for regeneration. High above, the main Hindu flag flies the color orange, heralding the Nartana Ritau throughout this season, symbolizing sadhana and self-control. The other colors adorn smaller flags. This is a season of giving special attention to those in the Grahastha Ashrama. It is a time of awakening, renewal, review. The emphasis is on seeing ahead, planning for future years. It is a time of planning retreats and other activities for youths and adults for the entire year. During this time of looking forward, the church's six-year plan is updated by the Guru Maha Sannidhanam and stewards, and another year added. The Saivadharma Shastras are studied, and any needed additions and supplementary manuals representing new growth are made. The practical focus is completion of unfinished projects. Secular holidays to observe among the families include Mother's Day in May, Father's Day in June, and Grandparents' Day in August. In the monastery, the monks begin their annual 31-day Ayurvedic herbal cleansing. Intensive cleaning of monastery buildings and grounds takes place. The special dietary adjustments for the season come into effect, and new menus are established. New clothing is issued, and old garments mended. The season of harvest and new growth is also the time to renew and reestablish picking and planting routines for the garden. Is it a time for ordering seeds and plants for the new year, of planting trees, fragrant vines, and the annual crop? Review is made for scheduling the care of all nine realms of the Adinam's 51 acres. Kadabal Temple and the Guru Temple are cleaned and renewed during this season, and the adjacent grounds receive special abundant attention. Karmayogis are invited to help in this and other areas with planting and weeding, digging, fertilizing, fence repair, and more. Interesting that we just redid the garden next to Nandi here. So sometimes we do things without remembering they're right here. Then we read them and say, oh, we just did that. So we did that a little early. All right. The daily sadhana is the Shiva Chaitanya Panchat. The daily sadhana is the Shiva Chaitanya Panchatantra, experiencing nada, jyoti, prana, shakti, and darshana. In Sanskrit, it is time of learning new slokas. It is a time of learning new slokas and mantras. In the family community, Prajnotara Satsanga is held for one and all to attend. Families plan for their annual pilgrimage. Shrine rooms are renewed and redecorated for the year. And the clothing of all is renewed in the Hindu style of the current fashion. It is a time of doing things for others. Religious outreach. In the missions, Nartana Ritau is a time of bringing in new students and church members. It is a time of Hatha Yoga and philosophical teachings. The main festival of Nartana Ritau and of the entire year is Guru Purnima. The Matavasis hold special conclave on Vaikasi Visakham, the full moon of May. The three Adinam realms of the season are, number one, Rishi Valley with its secluded Guru Hut and Parampara shrines on the banks of Rishi Valley's Saravanabhava Lake. Number two, Wailua Farm with its pastures, orchards, and gardens. And number three, Kadabal Koyil with its Guru Temple, entry gardens, Banyan Pavilion, Tirunelveli Pass, sacred tank, and its Puakenikeni and Mango Mandapams. So that's our Ritau focus, so we're encouraging everyone to update their plans. Gurudeva encouraged planning. He loved to plan, felt it was a very important part of life. And not only for the monastery, which has plans, but also for each family or each single individual to have a plan. And the plan should be comprehensive and go a few years in the future, at least 3, up to 6, and map out the various areas of life. See if I can remember them. Religious, social, cultural, economic, and educational. The various aspects of life. So to set goals in all those areas. And as you know, when we've talked about plans in the past, usually families think of economic plans, retirement plans. And I looked on the web and for family plans, and the only family plans there were economic plans. No one planned out their religious life for 6 years, their social life for 6 years, cultural life, educational life. But it's important, and it helps us move forward in our life and not become stagnant. And it's important for all members of the family, regardless of age, to do new things, learn new things. And so by going through this planning process, we focus on that. You know, education. What new subjects should I learn? What new skills should I acquire? Social. What important gatherings should my family and all my relatives have during this coming year to be supportive of one another? Economic, we all know economic planning, planning for the future, planning for retirement. Cultural planning, making sure we have enough cultural activities in our life. And for youth, you know, still learning the cultural skills, still learning musical instruments and dance is an important part of the cultural part of life. And religious part of our life, you know, can we go on a major pilgrimage this year? If so, where will it be? Do we need to put more energy in our shrine room, redecorate it, renovate it, put new life in it, and so forth? So like that, Gurudeva encourages us during this season to plan and in all the aspects of our life. So it fits right in with the astrology of the year, of the time. You know, this is the intellectual period of the year, starting with Aries. So we tend to think a lot during this time of year anyway. So it's natural time to plan. That's why it falls in this quarter. So having said all of that, we get to raise our flag in a few minutes, right? Have a little flag-raising ceremony. You're all welcome to attend if you can stay. We parade out to our flagpole and raise the flag, which impresses our mind that something has changed. We have a new color flag. Something's different. What is it? Oh, we have a new season. What are we supposed to do? Plan, study philosophy, etc. So it's just a very simple way of impressing the mind that it's a new season.